Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher. Hello and welcome to a special Saturday edition of Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Gus Carter and I'm joined by Katie Balls and Nick Tyrone, a regular Coffee House contributor and author of Politics is Murder. The Liberal Democrats have been looking for a new leader after the former incumbent, Jo Swinson, lost her seat in the 2019 general election. Since then, the party has had a number of interim leaders, one of whom is Ed Davey, a candidate in the race. Katie, the election is finally due to conclude at the end of this month. Can you start off by telling us a little bit about the candidates and what the central themes of the election have been?
Yeah, I mean, I think the central theme has been one of irrelevance, almost. Is it not a leadership contest that has really registered that much in Westminster? I think a lot of people haven't been paying much attention to it. And actually, a lot of people have been making jokes about it more than taking the candidates particularly seriously. But ultimately, while the Lib Dems have become a slightly irrelevant party in the sense the number of seats they get is fairly insignificant compared to what they used to get under leaders such as, you know, Charles Kennedy, Paddy Ashdown, I think that it's still worth taking this contest seriously to a degree, because Lib Dem votes, they have to go somewhere. And if you look at the past election, you talk about Tory successes, but the Lib Dem and Labour vote was split, you know, that group, and that did help the Tories. So can one of these candidates do something going forward? Who are they aiming at? They are questions I think that we should be looking to answer. The two candidates are Ed Davey and Leila Moran. I think it's fair to say that Sir Ed Davey is the bookies' favourite. What you have to bear in mind, though, is there's not actually much polling going on in the Lib Dem leadership race, partly due to a lack of funds. So it's not something where, although everyone thinks Ed Davey is ahead, I think both camps will caveat that a bit, saying, we think he is, but it wouldn't be the strangest thing in the world if he had a surprise. Now, Ed Davey comes with the baggage of the coalition. And actually, on policies, both he and Leila Moran have quite a lot in common. They're both talking about the idea of universal basic income. They're both talking a lot about green policies. But I still think it's fair to say that Ed Davey is seen as the one who is more in the centre than Leila Moran. And I think that probably the best way to imagine it is, I think in Ed Davey's ideal scenario, A, he wins, but then B, he becomes a Paddy Ashdown-esque figure. It's someone who isn't in a formal pact with Labour per se, but can work alongside in the sense of projecting liberal values. He's had a big focus on carers, which could be a good doorstep issue, and to go about it that way. And I think talking to various pollsters when I was writing a piece on this for this week's magazine, one described to me as, you know, Ed Davey's target liberal is the commuter liberal. It's not perhaps a liberal that some people think are in the Liberal Democrat Party, but it's people who aren't fairly high earners, live outside London, and that's where he's looking at. I think Leila Moran, just briefly, she is seen as a more out there candidate. I think her lines throughout the contest have changed quite a lot, but I think the one that probably stuck out the most was when she said that she was going to be more radical than Labour. She was going to be unapologetic about it. And I think that if you are comparing them with previous leaders, probably more the Charles Kennedy route of taking the fight to Labour on various issues, you know, perhaps moving to the left of them sometimes. But still with Leila Moran, I think she has spoken more openly about the idea of formal pacts than Ed Davey. So there's an idea that she would work with other parties in more of a formal arrangement. So I think that those are where they both sit. Some people say Ed Davey's very pale, male and stale and boring. Leila Moran will stand out more. But others think actually we should just go with boring. And I think one argument in the various Lib Dem WhatsApp groups is, you know, we tried a woman, look at Labour, they've got a Sir at the moment. A Sir works really well. Why don't we get Sir Ed Davey?
Nick, Katie writes in her piece this week that there are some who think that the party may actually be on the brink of extinction. And yet, if you look at 2019 general election, the Lib Dems actually came second in, I think it was 91 seats. Do you think reports of the Lib Dems' demise are greatly exaggerated?
No, I don't, actually. I think that they're probably to be taken quite seriously. One of the problems that the Lib Dems have right now is, well, there's several. A big one is that the opportunity they were handed in 2019 was massive. And I think they really underestimated that. And they really, I mean, to be blunt, screwed it up quite badly. And it's difficult to see where they come back from in that sense. And again, the steer that you would get would be from the leadership contest. And what I've seen so far has been, as a former supporter, fairly unenlightening. One of the things is there's a sort of, can we go back to a golden era? That's very much a sort of a running theme. I think there is, for Leyla, and to some extent Ed, but lesser so, there is, can we go back to sort of 2004? You know, that this golden era where we had, you know, we had the Iraq protest vote, all that sort of thing, the Charles Kennedy era. And I mean, there's several problems with that. One of which is that obviously from 2010 to 2015, the Lib Dems were in government with the Tories, which I think they just don't understand how much people on the left will not forget that. And there isn't some sort of pledge they can make. They can't just sort of say, well, we like universal basic income and we're kind of green anyway. Can you vote for us? I just think, you know, being in government with the Tories just doesn't really work. And if they're going to then, if you're talking about the golden halo seats and getting, and then, you know, these 91 seats, which are all up against the Tories, they're all sort of mostly natural Tory seats. And I think going to the left of where Keir Starmer is going, I just see that as being a total disaster. You know, I think there's a real sense if things go particularly badly for the Lib Dems, which, let's face it, they kind of have over the last three elections at least, you could see them lose every seat, frankly. So I think that it's the existential crisis that the Lib Dems face is very, very real.
Yeah, I think it does look bleak for them from several perspectives. Ultimately, they don't have much in the way of funding. They've lost all their big donors because there is a big push on Brexit. And I think one reading and one that you hear a lot, I mean, writing a piece for this week's magazine, when I called a few Tory MPs to say, oh, what do you think of the two candidates? All spoke to, you know, figures in government. They just laughed at me. It's just not something that they are thinking about. But I think that for all those problems, it does look as though they could be on the brink of extinction. I always remember the number of times, though, I have read pieces when the Liberal Democrats are on the brink of extinction. And I think there is one way of looking at the past election, which is ultimately they had a perfect opportunity. You had Brexit on the line. You had two polarising leaders on either side. And they should have been able to just hoover up votes in the centre. And I think that is a compelling argument. And definitely in some seats, it was the case that they had a very good opportunity and they came close in lots of these seats. You know, they're over 90, but not close enough. But there's also, it is the case that if you look at the history of the Liberal Democrats, they do tend to do better when you have a Labour leader who is palatable. So while Keir Starmer on paper, I think, is a nightmare for the Liberal Democrats in many ways, he appeals to Liberal voters, particularly if you look at the yellow donor or the halo, whatever you want to call it, those seats, you can see, you know, he polls very well there. I think you can imagine why Labour strategists might think, wait a minute, why don't we just go for those voters? But at the same time, I think that the other perspective from the last election is lots of people saying, well, I want to vote Lib Dem, but I don't want Jeremy Corbyn to be Prime Minister. And I think having Keir Starmer in role, although he potentially goes for their voters, also means that if you want to vote Lib Dem, you don't have to feel bad about the Labour Prime Minister you might let in. And I think that actually, depending on who the leader is, will influence this a bit. But a lot of this might actually just be in the gift of Keir Starmer, which is, what is Labour's tactic in this? They're going to stand candidates in every seat. But if you look at the number of places where the Lib Dems are number two and there are Tories are number one, you have to stop a Tory majority. If Scotland has gone to the SNP, if it's very hard to get Scottish Labour back, I think Labour would need to win 123 seats at the next election to get a majority. I think that you can imagine a scenario if Keir Starmer wants to take the more cautious route, and he is a pretty cautious leader, where you think let's just soft pedal it in some of these Tory Lib Dem marginals, and potentially that's how you break down them getting a majority. It's not where the Tories' focus appears to be at the moment in those commuter areas. So I think it does look very difficult for the Lib Dems, but I do think there are a few arguments that factors might not be as bad as everyone has presumed.
Nick, back in the Blair era, there was something of an informal pact between the Lib Dems and Labour. Do you think that's something that could be resurrected under Keir Starmer's Labour Party?
Well, I think it's very difficult. I think one of the things that Lib Dems in particular tend to underestimate is just how much Labour activists now hate the Lib Dems, how deep that really goes. I know from numerous Labour conference, you know, sort of fringe meetings, if you feel like you're losing the crowd, one of the easiest ways to do is just make an anti-Lib Dem jibe and you can kind of unite the room again. I think they just underestimate how much the coalition with the Tories really undermined any feeling of sort of camaraderie that Labour people can have with Lib Dems. And I think that runs really, really deep. And we saw it come out in the 2019 general election, and the Lib Dems were completely unprepared for it. They just sort of thought, oh, well, that's over, that's done. And they didn't really realise how much Labour would go for them. You know, another one is obviously the defections that you had, Chuka et al. Joining the Lib Dems. You know, and there was a really concerted effort, which I completely understand, by the way, for Labour to stop those people from staying in Parliament. It was one of the things that Labour did actually very, very well, I think, at the last election, was to cut that out and basically make it so that you didn't have the Lib Dems as an escape valve. There's so much animosity between the parties, and you just think about how many problems Keir Starmer is going to have from the left of his party, and how much he wants to take that on, how much he wants to sort of try and keep some of those people on board, and sort of saying, hey guys, you know, we can't really win a majority, but actually, what does a Labour, Lib Dem, SNP government sound like? I just think for a lot of Labour activists, that's going to be a hard one to sell. I really, really do. And I think the Lib Dems underestimate that. And let's say Labour are polling really well. Let's say something goes wrong, you know, I don't know, no deal, Brexit, whatever, we can endlessly think about scenarios. And the Tory poll ratings start to tank. Labour go up, Labour in the mid-40s. Would they start to think about some of those Lib Dem seats, particularly if Lib Dems are polling very badly? Let's say they're polling like 3%, 4%. You know, why wouldn't they? Particularly when, as you say, they're going to struggle to get seats in Scotland. I mean, Starmer could start to look at it as going, well, I'm probably only going to be able to form a government with the SNP. I have to get as many seats in England as I possibly can do. How soft are some of these Tory Lib marginals? And they could do some polling and find out, actually, a lot of that vote was about Brexit, was an anti-Brexit thing, and voters who hated Corbyn, right? So it could kind of flip round and sort of be like, well, actually, some of these people will vote Labour. We don't have to deal with the Lib Dems and whatever their demands are going to be for PR or whatever, you know. Why would we do that? So I think that's the danger zone for the Lib Dems.
Also, I mean, if we're just looking at the leadership contest, I think there's so much unknown, obviously, over the next couple of years about Starmer's strategic decisions, about where all the seats are, about where the Lib Dems can move anywhere near double figures in a poll again. But Nick wrote a very interesting piece for Coffee House suggesting, you know, should Leila Moran win, who you're backing, but perhaps not for the reason Leila Moran's team would hope you were backing her. You know, you say, well, you know what, I can now actually just, you know, full conscience go to Keir Starmer. Whereas, so I think we are at a crossroads in the sense that I think that given that the Leila Moran pitch is to almost get young voters who could be with Labour. One person wrote is the Liberals that don't yet exist. And the Ed Davey pitch is to try and get these commuter Liberals, so pretty much where they have been in elections so far, and then to try and just work alongside Keir Starmer in an informal way, perhaps be, you know, a slightly mediocre Blair Ashdown situation. The options for the next few years, I think, will be decided a bit by who wins this contest. And I think that if Leila Moran wins, then that is a different path to go on. And while Keir Starmer may well decide to just go for broke in every single seat, I think that if Leila Moran is Liberal Democrat leader, I had, you know, some say to me that would make it, in their view, harder for Keir Starmer to have an informal soft pedal strategy, because Leila Moran and Keir Starmer, I think, together seem much more, even though Ed Davey has spoken about these things, seem very, you know, Remainer, culture wars. It's a different look, I think, than if it is just, you know, Ed Davey and Keir Starmer. And I think there was another thing, which is, you talk about this coalition of chaos thing. In the nicest way possible, if the next election I'm being told it's probably Keir Starmer with a bit of help from Ed Davey, it's not really a coalition of chaos. It might be a coalition of boredom. Probably at that point, Boris Johnson's government are going to look like the exciting, perhaps chaotic option. And meanwhile, you have, you know, Surveyors United in Keir Starmer and Ed Davey. So I think who wins this does dictate the terms of it going forward. I don't know what Nick thinks.
I totally agree. I mean, I can completely agree. And I think it will affect the way Labour strategise around this. Because as you say, if Leila gets it and she goes very much to the left, then they might start to think, well, do we want to be associated with that? How much do actually being associated with the Lib Dems starts to become a liability for Labour? So in lots of ways, they have to think about that. And I think you're right. I think the Ed Davey, Keir Starmer duo does feel very different. That's, as you say, very hard to paint that as coalition of chaos. You know, that could be, well, actually, let's just have these two boring sirs. That wouldn't be actually all that bad, would it? Again, it depends on what Starmer does, and it really does depend who wins, and it depends how far does Ed Davey go to the left? Is he kind of doing this left lurch because that's where he thinks the membership is and he thinks that he wins? So in a sense, kind of actually emulating Starmer. So yeah, I agree. That looks very, very different.
Yeah, Kevin, Knights Unite could be their slogan.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Katie. And thank you for listening.
Before you go, why not subscribe to The Spectator? For just £12, you can get 12 issues of the magazine delivered to your door, full access to our website, and we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher. Absolutely free. Forget Eat Out to help out. This is the offer people are raving about, or at least that's what the producer to this podcast says. Just go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.